This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas, powered by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You're listening to The Breakfast Grill and I am Tan Chen Lee. Digital transformation is a buzzword these days amongst many corporations as they embrace digital technologies to their operations in favor of efficiency and innovation. One popular strategy within these digital plans is the migration to cloud services, or sometimes also called cloud computing. Now, what is cloud computing? Cloud computing is the storing or accessing of programs, apps, and data via the internet, instead of directly on your computer hard drives or local servers. Oftentimes, corporations utilize not just one cloud, but multiple clouds to reap the benefits of public and private cloud platforms. So today we speak to a multi-cloud technology services or solution provider, Rackspace Technology, who helped their customers to design, build, and operate their cloud environment. Sandeep Bhargava, Managing Director of Asia Pacific and Japan at Rackspace Technology, joins me today. Good morning, Sandeep.
Good morning.
So, Rackspace offers a wide range of solutions to customers. What are the most in-demand solutions that you see specifically from the Asia Pacific and Japan markets?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, when we started off, a lot of the websites, a lot of the software companies were hosted on our cloud computing platform, which had footprints across Asia Pacific and Australia. These days, especially with 2 years of pandemic, a lot of companies are thinking about how to make themselves more resilient, how to make their environments, tech environments, more resilient, more approachable from anywhere. And that is driving up a lot of need for people to move on to cloud platforms and away from their data centers, right? Pandemic taught them the need for, you know, doing away with the data centers, because a lot of times they couldn't reach it, couldn't manage it, couldn't refresh the environments. And that's where cloud computing provided a really good alternative solutions. As well as employees migrated to move to work from anywhere, applications that were available from anywhere and that were secure in that ability also gained traction, right? And finally, a lot of customers wanted to take advantage and launch new services and quickly ramp up their businesses. And cloud computing provided that ability. And all those three things are really driving the adoption of cloud across Asia Pacific.
So did the work from home trend push Rackspace's business to higher grounds, or did the pandemic limit companies' budget to sign up for your services?
Actually, the pandemic was really good. I remember at the start, I was new to Rackspace and I was wondering, you know, what would happen. And I would say, the last 2 years have been pretty good for our business. And you could see also the businesses of Amazon, Microsoft, Google, who are our three key partners. Their businesses have done phenomenally well. So the last 2 years have been good. The services uptake has been really, really good. And it's has been in all countries. There were countries where people still wanted to buy their own gear in their own data centers. And even there, the walls of resistance to move to public cloud platforms really chopped.
I was looking at your global accounts and I saw that the multi-cloud services segment seems to have picked up pace and contributed 81% to revenue in 2021 as compared to 69% in 2017. And that is a $1 billion US dollar increment in revenue in the last 5 years. And this is a sizable increment. So what has changed in the global business landscape that has contributed to this?
I would say, you know, it's when we talked 5-6 years ago, and we were a managed hosting private cloud part player about 10 years ago, right? We started doing multi-cloud really about 7-8 years ago. We acknowledge that, you know, a number of other platform players had evolved. And customers will start having multiple choices and you have to be playing across the spectrum. And what we did was we built capabilities around all these platforms of choice, right? Whether it's private cloud, which is for us is powered by Dell and VMware, or public cloud platforms like Amazon, Microsoft. So we built those capabilities. We built early partnerships. We acquired companies to build capabilities in specific areas where we were lacking. And all of that meant that we were in the right place, when that explosion of public cloud growth happened, right? If you look at all of these three players, they've all grown 30 to 45, 50% over the last 4 or 6 quarters. The other thing is, 5, 6 years ago, every customer you would, the question was, why should I go to cloud? And if for some who had decided to go to cloud, it was, okay, how do I take my first step? In the last 2 years, cloud, nobody talks about why. Like everybody is, why not? Why are you not? Or what is your strategy? I've met really traditional customers. And even their CEOs would know cloud, right? And they are pushing their CIOs and the tech teams to say, what is our cloud strategy? So cloud has become more of a lifestyle, right? A more part of the fabric, a more part of the utility than something that we should explore, right? And that has meant that the push from that entire ecosystem has been there. And so that, explodes the growth of cloud. And we were in the right place because we had the right skills across multiple platforms, not just any single one.
So I see that most of, or I can say 70% of sales is contributed from the Americas, but only about 4 to 5% of revenue that was actually contributed from Asia in the last 5 years. So is Asia not a focus region for Rackspace?
Actually, if you see numbers, if you look at our trend lines 10 years ago, we were insignificant in Asia, right? And from there, we've kind of grown to about 4 or 5%. If you look at our, we don't break down the numbers, but if you look at our last earnings report, actually in the last earnings report, we did call out that Asia grew like 30%+, right? The quarter before, we also gave similar numbers. So if you see the trajectory of growth in Asia, it has been much, much higher than the rest of the company. Now, of course, we are growing from a much smaller base, right? We've been able to acquire, a data analytics firm in Singapore. And that wouldn't happen if this was not going to be the focus for the company, right? So it definitely is the focus, but we are coming from a really small base. We were 4% when I joined. We are now 5%. We are on track to double our business probably in 12 months' time. And that would be about 3 years after I joined, right? So, and we've been able to acquire companies. So
it's not an organic growth.
The acquisition was not that big from a dollar point of view, but it has an outsized impact on our portfolio because it fills up a niche that we did not have, right? And it has the ability to make an impact for us globally, not just in Asia. So we bought a company which we think will have an impact on sales all around the world. But from a dollar point of view, it was not that big. But we are on track to double that business predominantly organically, right? Not inorganically. And you saw you mentioned the OpenStack decline. So now, with that decline, to double the business.
Okay. I'm interested to know also, because when you talk about organic growth, right, what is the strategy for growth over here? And is Malaysia an important market in terms of your overall strategy in Asia? And what specifically are the targeted sectors or industries in the market that you would like to develop?
Yeah. So when we started, right, 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago, we're physically present in Singapore, Hong Kong, Australia. Since then, we opened up sales offices in India, in Malaysia, in New Zealand, a ship in Japan, as well as through acquisition, we found ourselves a footprint in Vietnam, right? Australia used to contribute more than half the business, and now more than half the business comes actually from outside of Australia. We had customers in Malaysia, though they were mostly, we started those businesses really out of Singapore. People found us. They just happened to be in Malaysia. And as we've expanded our footprint, both from a sales and delivery perspective, we're realizing that there is a number of sectors that we can target, that there is definitely a need. And let's say versus Singapore, Malaysia is definitely an underserved market in terms of cloud computing. And so that really positions us well. And I would not give you the specific details because I don't want too many of our competitors to start entering Malaysia. But, people have a natural affinity towards, let's say, Indonesia, which is a much larger population market, right? But Malaysia has, even though the population is small, the GDP is fairly sizable. And hence, the need for tech and tech services is always great in Malaysia.
How receptive are heavily regulated industries, such as financial institutions, when it comes to multi-cloud adoption? And what are the potential challenges?
Actually, very. I never thought that we would do business in public sector or FSI. And when I say public sector, I don't mean government ministries. Right? I mean, you know, there are lots of companies that operate in the public sector space, which may not be government agencies. Right? So I won't think so. But in the last 12 months, some of my good wins have been in those sectors. People are exploring how do they migrate to cloud, which workloads to migrate, which platform to choose, how secure they are. The conversations are starting to happen. You know, the regulators play a big part in this, especially in the financial services. And I think both Singapore and Malaysia regulators, they might not be out there open, but in the background, they have been pushing people to use technologies that are more inclusive, more expansionary, right? Can provide services to anybody and everybody. It's a trend that we are seeing in a lot of governments all across the region, right? It just is that how do you contract, like with the company that we are, you know, sometimes contracting locally becomes that becomes a bit of a problem, right? But, you know, Malaysia has announced digital banking licenses, and what is to say that they will not be a cloud-first, you know, bank, right? Which means, again, driving adoption. So public sector and FSI, I'm really pleasantly surprised, you know, of what I'm seeing. The other one is around the startups. Startups, digital natives, software vendors. You know, Malaysia has a thriving startup scene. They are cloud-first. So you say, hey, they are on cloud, so what is it for people like you? And what's it for people like us is, anybody can put a credit card and buy resources of Amazon and start their business. It's when a certain size and when they now start thinking about getting either more consumers or more businesses to use their platform that they realize they want to spend time on marketing and sales and not necessarily on the, you know, on correcting whatever flaws they might have on the technical landscape, right? Or clearing the technical debt. And that is where a company like us comes in because we can help them clear their technical debt so that they can focus on sales and marketing, attract more customers and drive up the valuation. And a lot of startups find themselves at that stage as they get into from pre-series, you know, to series A to series B. Pretty much every single startup starts getting into that. And it's a question of how soon and how often can we tie up with them. And then, you know, then you have the retail and distribution and manufacturing segment, transportation segment. You know, they are adopting cloud, so I would say the pace is slower. But they are, and they're also experimenting with things like IoT, right, to get their operations much more streamlined or using newer data technologies to get data on time to take real-time decisions. And that is, again, something that the pandemic has done across the board. The use of data has just expanded exponentially. Because when you can't touch field people, all you were doing was sitting in front of a laptop looking at dashboards. And so you started figuring out, how can I get different cuts of and different analysis of various things to take better decisions? And that has really exploded, which again drives cloud computing because all of these are on public cloud platforms.
Yeah, it's interesting that you brought up regulators earlier in our conversation here. So do Malaysian regulators impose a strict data localization guidelines requiring that residents' data be processed and stored in the country? And is this a challenge for you when it comes to heavily regulated industries' migration to cloud platforms?
I wouldn't say that Malaysia is an outlier versus, you know, its peers. So, you know, different governments are waking up to, you know, fact that the data is important. Certain data they need to have control. I wouldn't say that Malaysia is any stringent from any of its neighbors. But, you know, there is a number of ancillary things that you can do in, even in heavily regulated industries. Build that momentum to build that familiarity, you know, knowledge. And that is where bulk of the work is happening. Not so much as the core systems, which have, you know, the core data and hence the big concerns. Like, but also the public cloud players are starting to announce, let's say, footprints in Malaysia. And that only happens when people start seeing that there is enough traction in the market that if you were to put a footprint in, it would actually be helpful. And so that's what we are seeing right now with the public cloud players, which means that there is enough momentum in the market in Malaysia.
You are listening to The Breakfast Grill, and with me this morning is Sandeep Bhargava, Managing Director of Asia Pacific and Japan at Rackspace Technology. Up next, we will be discussing competition and cybersecurity. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to The BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Breakfast Grill. I am speaking to Sandeep Bhargava, Managing Director of Asia Pacific and Japan at Rackspace Technology this morning. And before the break, Sandeep was breaking down the regional market in Asia Pacific and Japan for us in terms of cloud adoption and also the impact of the pandemic to the company. In general, the industry has a high level of competition, and it is easy for buyers to bargain, and the cost to switch are actually relatively low. So how do you protect your market share from existing players like Veritas, Tierpoint, or NetApp?
So I would say actually all those people that you've talked about, in some ways they're competitors, but in a lot of ways they're actually partners. Even for public cloud players, they offer solutions that are complementary that may not be as developed in the public cloud platforms, as well as, you know, they might provide things at a price point that is much more attractive. Like NetApp is a great example of this, where they do provide external storage on Amazon footprints in a number of use cases. So, you know, the trick here is to really stitch together the partnerships which provides a continuous value to customers, right? Like Dell, if you think about Dell, which is a pure private cloud, pure, you know, hardware company, versus let's say an Amazon or Microsoft, what's the link? Are they competing? Yes, absolutely. But also, you know, large customers want a continuum of services, right? Some services will always remain on-prem, and we talked about it in financial services. But those services then will have to really seamlessly work with what can be hosted in public cloud platforms. And so then these vendors have to work with each other to make sure that they are providing services. And sometimes that interconnection actually comes from third parties, right? So it is always, you know, the trick is to be vested in the market, to continuously look at what the customers want or our customers are looking for, and just keep stretching the partnerships.
But these third parties vendors are not unique to you, because they also can be working with other competitors similar like yourself. So then how do you compete with these people? Is price competition the way to go?
It's multi-dimensional. So first of all, it is about stitching together use cases with these players that we can take to the market, right? And if you have provided a thought leadership in stitching the use cases, then you always are going to be in the driver's seat, right? Like technically, anybody can copy that use case and anybody can apply. But if you've done it, then you already have the runway. The second is a lot about relationships, right? And relationships build up because you are doing joint business, you're solving customer problems together, and you are doing business in many parts of the world, so that there is a level of trust and a level of dependence, right? And that takes time and energy. And we've spent that time and energy over many years with all the players that you actually mentioned about. And all of them are in our ecosystem. And third, then it's, you know, of course, it's you have to have a differentiated solution. It has to be differentiated in feature, in functionality, in ease of use, and in price.
Rackspace is not profitable yet. And what does it take to turn profitable? And when can investors expect that?
Actually, I would say if you look at the gross margins, we are. But then there are a number of things below the line, you know, that takes us to the position that where it takes us.
Data coherence is one thing. Data security is also another important segment. Yes. And we cannot avoid, you know, discussing about data security when we discuss cloud solutions, right? So how do you protect customers when it comes to data security? How do you give them confidence?
Actually, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, that question around how secure is the cloud versus my own data center, like that used to be at the top of the mind. And we would have to really break that down for people. Funnily enough, during pandemic, people migrated because they felt that the cloud platforms are more secure than their own data centers, right? And again, the amount of money that has gotten into the public cloud platforms is so much that they have invested quite a bit in strengthening their security profile, right? And each of them can actually show to you, and that's true also even in the private cloud platforms. They will show to you how, whether using native features or partner features, you can have a much more secure experience than you would in your own data center. So definitely that is one. And the second is then it's just plain old how you manage projects and how you manage operations, you know, because ultimately the failure happens at human level, right? That is still the weakest link when it comes to security. So how do you train your workforce? How you manage them? How do you try to give the fanatical experience to our customers across all their, you know, aspects of their operations? And that's really a secret sauce. That's what we specialize and focus on.
You spoke about customer experience. So how do you maintain quality of service here? Because I know that last year you had a 10% workforce cut in the second half of the year. What is driving these decisions? And how do you ensure quality of services?
Last year, we did announce that 10% because what we realized was we had evolved from a purely platform company, which had very less dependence on people, right? Because you were just creating platforms and creating the tools and automation to manage those platforms, to be a true multi-cloud company, right? With lots of focus on public cloud platforms, which is really a traditional SI, a system integration business, with quite a bit dependence on people, right? And we acknowledged that and we decided to shift the mix of a labor workforce so that could be competitive in the market, right? And that is what we announced. And we did it in the middle of a pandemic when people couldn't travel. So we hired lots and lots of new people across many countries without their hiring managers ever seeing their faces, right? Without people who had experience sitting down with these new people and imparting knowledge. But we had a pretty rock solid program that we ran globally, making sure that knowledge was transferred over to people. And then especially the younger people were cocooned by support staff who were experienced so that you know, you can gauge signals when a customer problem was taking longer than it should have been. And then you could intervene and get to the bottom of it, right? But I would be remiss to say that everything went smoothly, right? What we saw in 2021 in terms of the work from home and the inability for that human interactions and imparting knowledge, especially to people who are very young and early in their careers. And then, you know, the attrition wave that hit all of us, right? You know, definitely there were, when we think about it back, there were definitely things we could have done slightly better.
On that note, thank you for your time. So today on The Breakfast Grill was Sandeep Bhargava, Managing Director of Asia Pacific and Japan at Rackspace Technology. I am Tan Chen Lee, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, where unlimited potential begins.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.